I'm Steve Potter. Coming up on Cityscape, we're going to hear from tenor Anthony Dean Griffey, who will sing the title role of Peter Grimes tomorrow night at Powell Hall with the St. Louis Symphony and Chorus. Tomorrow night, actor Stephen Lang brings his one-man show, Beyond Glory, to Washington University's Edison Theater after runs in New York and Chicago. Stephen Lang joins us on the telephone. Welcome to Cityscape.
Thank you very much, Steve. Good to be here.
Good to have you almost here.
close by.
Close enough. Listeners may know you from your work in HBO's Love, Marilyn, or maybe from films including Conan the Barbarian and Avatar. In fact, I understand you're going to be reprising your role in Avatar in all three sequels?
Well, I'll be advancing it. I'm not sure it's a reprise, but we'll be doing three more Avatar films, and the creator of that world, Jim Cameron, has decided that Colonel Miles Quaritch is vital to the advancement of the saga, so I'm pleased to say I'll be back.
Now, how's that going to work? And I'm sure you won't tell me, but because Miles is dead.
Well, just because he took three huge arrows to the chest, I mean, I don't know if that means he's dead. But, yeah, it's a sci-fi world. Anything is possible. And as I've always said since the film came out, as long as I got my DNA, nothing's over.
I guess you're right about that. Well, let's talk about the show that you're bringing to St. Louis, Beyond Glory. This is something that inspired you. And originally, I guess you got your inspiration from a book.
A buddy of mine, Larry Smith, fine journalist, he wrote a book entitled Beyond Glory. It was firsthand accounts from 25 living Medal of Honor recipients. I wrote it back in 2003. I read it. It knocked me out. I began to noodle around with it. I felt in my gut that there was a really good piece of theater in here. And a solo tour de force show called Beyond Glory, 80 uninterrupted minutes of me, is the result. I portray eight Medal of Honor recipients from World War II, Korea, and Vietnam. It's my most personal work over about 40 years in the business, for sure.
Do you have a military background of any kind? I'm wondering what drew you to this.
Well, I don't have a military background, in fact. And I think it's possible to conjecture if I did, I might not have done it. In some way, I've always been very, very interested in both in history and specifically military history. And so I've read a lot of it. And I think if my life had gone in a different direction, I could easily have ended up in the military. But it didn't. And I'm thankful to be where I am. The acting world has been great to me. But the themes that I think are personified by these men, themes of humility and courage and fiber and faith and intrepidity, those are all things that are really interesting to me. And by the same token, I find there are a few things that are more dramatic, in fact, than war, of course. And it just seemed like it was built for the stage. And I didn't know if I could do it. I knew it would be a very demanding piece, but somehow I have.
I find it interesting that you say that if you'd had a military background, you might not have done this.
Well, you know, I'll tell you the reason I say that. I came of age during the Vietnam War. I was in the lottery, and my number was 222. And you know, quite frankly, it was not a war that I was going to run off to be part of. I have no regrets about my life. I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you if it had gone differently. However, sometime as I got a bit older, I began to feel there was a certain component of my life that was unfulfilled, and it had to do with service. It had to do with acknowledging or marking the role that our military has played. I mean, as an actor, I've been all over the world, and every time you come home, I'm so happy to get back to the States, as much as I love traveling. And so, what do I have to offer? I'm too old to tote a gun. Not sure I would want to do it anyway. But I do act. And there is a component. I can't say it's the complete reason here, but there is a component to me of service. And when I first set out to do this thing, it was really vital to me that I not only do it for theater audiences, but that I be able to do it for the troops. And I've been fortunate over the years to be able to do it for thousands and thousands of our troops all over the globe, too. So in a sense, it does serve a purpose, certainly in terms of, I think, morale.
We're talking to actor and playwright Stephen Lang, who will bring his one-man show Beyond Glory to the Edison Theater at Washington University tomorrow night. Set the stage for us. You say you portray, you said it's 80 minutes, you portray eight American servicemen, beginning with a soldier in World War II, then to Korea and Vietnam. So what's when the curtain goes up or the lights go on, how does it begin?
What this is 80 minutes of an actor and a footlocker. Beautiful lighting, a wonderful soundscape, and minimal projections. But essentially, it is an actor taking various items of wardrobe and the occasional prop out of a military footlocker. It's acting at its most fundamental, it seems to me. And these men in these wars are represented, but not in a chronological order. It does happen to end with World War II, but it also it does begin with World War II, but it also ends with World War II. It was really a question of how these stories fit together, how they flowed one from another. It was important to me to have a diversity of services and a diversity of wars and a diversity of individuals. So I play white guys, black guys, Nisei, some men you've heard of, such as, you know, Senator Inouye or James Admiral Stockdale, and six that you probably are not familiar with, unless you're a military historian. So essentially, it is just, it's me. And once the Beyond Glory train pulls out of the station, when the curtain goes up, it just barrels along. And hopefully, audiences have, I've done it over 400 times now, I think, and they find it exhilarating and rewarding and highly dramatic, you know. So it's not a history lesson per se. And it's not a war memorial. It's a real piece of theater.
Well, Stephen, you say that you've also performed it for strictly military audiences. So do you notice a different reaction from when you might play it here in St. Louis as opposed to when you've done it for military personnel?
Well, they appreciate it in a very immediate way. Certainly many, 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 many servicemen and women have come up to me and say, thank you. You motivate me. You inspire me. For them, I think it serves as a reminder of maybe what motivated them in the first place, to hear what men are capable of doing, what people are capable of doing. And many times if you do it for vets, and I've done it for many, many vets, you can really sense this sort of nodding, this knowing nodding that's going on as they recognize the phenomena of war that's being talked about and how the men talk about it. And so, you know, I think doing it for the military carries its own special reward. And on the other hand, I'm an old creature of the theater, and I get particular pleasure out of the fact that audiences who may not have a daily, relationship with the military find it equally fascinating, illuminating, and hopefully entertaining. And many, many times people have come up to me and say, you know, my dad was at Incheon or my dad was at Normandy Beach, and he never ever talked about it, and we learned very quickly, don't ask them about it. And this show, the depth of this show, it really gives me some insight into maybe why he didn't, and thanks for that. So that's always a good thing to hear as well.
I'm curious about something. These eight soldiers that you portray all have won the Medal of Honor, so I'm thinking, you know, stereotypical, brave, tough guys. Do we ever see other sides of these people?
Absolutely. You know, the actions, to a man, the actions for which they receive the medal are kind of the pebble in the pond of their life. And what these stories are, they ripple outwards, they ripple forward and backwards. These are old men talking about events that happened a long time. And what's interesting is that every day of their life, from the time that action occurred, resonates with that action. And in the stories that you hear, because it's not just about their actions, it's about their lives, you realize that everything in their life prior to was leading up to that action, as well. But just to give you an example, I was with Clarence Sasser, he's a medic at the Mekong Delta in Vietnam. I portray him in the show, and I was with him down in Texas a week or so ago, and he said something I'd never heard him say before. He said, you know, you got to understand that the man doesn't make the medal. The medal makes the man. And what he meant by that was, after you receive the Medal of Honor, it determines your behavior from then on, because you really need, because whether you're wearing it or not, that blue ribbon is around your neck for the rest of your life, and you have to live your life accordingly. You have to live up to it. So it has a profound effect on the rest of their lives as well.
And the characters you portray represent soldiers from World War II, Korea, and Vietnam, three different conflicts.
Right.
So that must be reflected in the emotions of the characters.
Well, you know, what I have to say is that the war, on some level, of course, you're absolutely correct. These are three different, very, very different conflicts. But on some very basic level, war is war. And what this show is not about is politics. In any way, this does not judge the particular validity of any of these conflicts at all. It takes war as the phenomena that it is, and it deals with it. Certainly the specifics can be different, whether you're fighting in the cold of mountains of Korea or you're fighting in the steaming jungles of Guam. So the differences are in context, it seems to me, rather than, you know, the fundamentals of it.
Edison Theater's Ovation series presents Stephen Lang in Beyond Glory, 8 p.m. tomorrow night at WashU's Edison Theater. For more information, go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page. And Stephen Lang, do the themes that come out in Beyond Glory, how do they or do they apply to today's military experience?
Well, I think they do. I was just with a lot of troops out at Fort Riley out here in Kansas, and it's the mentality, that soldier mentality. It's never changed, I think, from time immemorial, about duty, doing your duty, about standing up for the guy who's next to you, protecting your buddies, it's pretty basic stuff. And you know, there's been a lot of, over the last number of years, particularly I think since 9/11 and the war on terror, there's a lot of rah-rah going on, and you join up for whatever reason. And men have always joined up for those, and women have joined up for those reasons. And then they get there, and they find the reality can be quite different. In many days, the reality can be quite mundane.
Yeah.
And so it's a good idea to stir that pot of original reason why they did it in the first place.
Stephen Lang, it's Beyond Glory tomorrow night at WashU. Thank you so much. We'll look for you in the upcoming Avatar films. I think you got a Stephen King flick coming up too, and some other things. So thank you so much for joining us today. We certainly appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Steve.